is the Christ. God incarnate, the Savior, the Messiah, the one coming to take care of all of our problems. Each of those four gospel writers believed that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. Now, two of them, Matthew and John, were among the 12 that Jesus chose to be his disciples. And so they witnessed events. They heard him say things. And then they wrote them down later. The two other gospel writers, Mark and Luke, wrote things down secondhand, because they heard that stuff from other people who claimed to have witnessed it. Now, this morning, every one of us here is like Mark and Luke. Our gospel is secondhand. I've experienced Jesus tell me things. I hope some of you have experienced Jesus tell you things. So, in some ways, my witness is not secondhand because I experienced Jesus firsthand. And I've observed the results of some people when they have responded to Jesus. So, my observation of Jesus' interaction with me and with some of you and with others, that's firsthand. So, to some degree, my witness is not just secondhand, it's firsthand. And I hope that that can be true for all of us here in this room, that some of our witness to Jesus can be firsthand witness. Now, certainly, we're all secondhand witnesses when we pick up our Bible and we say, well, the Bible says this, or the gospel says this, or I read this in the scriptures. We're being secondhand. But there's another way that we can be witnesses firsthand. And so I can relate my firsthand observations like John and like Matthew. I wonder if some of the great preachers of antiquity, St. Ambrose or St. Augustine, people like that, Irenaeus or even Peter, John, I wonder if they told stories about themselves. Seems to me like every preacher I ever heard, they have some personal story that they tell the congregation. They say, here's something about me that kind of humanizes me to you. Well, I'll tell you that when I got out of the army after 2 years in Vietnam, I came home and this is just side note, I had been what they called in the field for the last 5 or 6 months of my time over there, and I hadn't been paid, so they'd never paid me. So when I got out of the Army, that day that I got out of the Army, the officer gave me $5,400 cash. I had that in my pocket when I went to the airport to get on the plane to go home. Now, some of you probably remember that back in the late 60s, early 70s, $5,400 was a lot of money. It was enough for me to buy a nice 1967 Chevrolet Impala and a nice, I won't tell you what kind, powerful motorcycle. So I bought two vehicles with my money. Well, that was the way a young man acted in those days. You got money, you buy a car. You know, with a nice seat, you could sit a girl beside you. And a motorcycle that you could go off on your own. So I did. And then I ruined it all by putting 5-inch letters on the back of my, on the back bumper of my car. And on one side of the license plate it said, "In love." And on the other side it said, "With Jesus." So wherever I drove, people behind me would say, there's a guy who says he's in love with Jesus. Oh, what a way to ruin my behavior. What a way to just, well, I didn't know any better. But you know, when I started speeding, I thought, oh, wait a minute, it says in love with Jesus back there. When I got angry with somebody and I was ready to say, God bless you. It's because it said in love with Jesus. You know, it kind of put a damper on some behaviors. I suspect that that's the way it should be in our lives. So I'm going to do something this morning. I'm going to read little bits of all four Gospels. Little bits. I think each one of the writers of the Gospels had themes that they show up. Those themes show up, and they might be there for us to see if we read the Gospels. And then there's always, and I must admit this, there's always the possibility that I might find things that are themes that they didn't really know were there. I see it, but they weren't aware of it when they wrote it. One way or the other, I see some themes, and I want to draw your attention to them this morning, and that story about me is just kind of to prepare us there. Now let's start in the Gospel of Mark. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark says this. In the beginning, oh no, it just says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then very near the end of the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 15, verse 39, it says, when the centurion, the Roman officer in charge of his crucifixion, when the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he died, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. At the beginning of Mark, the Son of God. Near the end of Mark, the Son of God. I see a theme here. Whether Mark knew it or not, I see a theme here. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Well, in our day today, there's a God controversy. I mean, unless you've got your head in the sand, you've probably heard rumblings of the God controversy. There are a lot of people who just say, poof, God. Those old superstitions. Wow. And you say, oh, I believe in God. Oh, sure you do. You know that God controversy? I'm not going to make you put up your hand, but probably some of you have run into that in your life somewhere along the line with someone. I know I have. And then there are the ones that they don't say it out loud, but, you know, if they saw, it's been 40, 50 years now since In Love with Jesus was on the back of my car. Sometimes I think about doing it again, and I think, no, not really. But sometimes I think other people, when they know that I'm who I am, they go, oh, yeah. You feel it, don't you? The God controversy. Well, if you got a problem with God, think about a problem with the Son of God. What does he mean by the Son of God? What is Son of God? Well, maybe according to the Jews, you know, in Jesus' day, being Son of God was okay. Jesus said, you're all sons of God. Jesus said that. You can find it in the Gospels. Jesus said, you're all sons of God. What they were concerned about was the Son of Man. That was an Old Testament idea that was the Messiah. Well, there's that idea. And then there's according to the Romans. After all, that centurion was a Roman, wasn't he? So what is Son of God according to the Romans? Well, the Romans didn't just have one God. They had a whole bunch of gods. But then in our Bible, you know, we have several names for God. We usually think about God, the Yahweh God, which that means I am, that I am. I am reality. When God talked to Moses, Moses said, well, what's your name? God said, I am what I am. I am reality. Boy, that's some concept, isn't it? That wasn't the Romans' idea of God. Romans had several gods. Well, the Jews had another God, name for God, Adonai, or Adonai, and that was the Lord God, and you'll find that translated Lord sometimes in your Old Testament. And that was a really powerful personal kind of name, and they used that a lot instead of Yahweh. And then there was Elohim. Elohim is God. Well, that word El is just the generic word for God in their day. El was God. Like, we could say God, or, and that doesn't necessarily mean Jesus, or doesn't necessarily mean our God. It just means a God. All kinds of gods can be gods. Well, that was the Roman idea of God. But Elohim is God above other gods. He was the God of the gods. And so maybe we have the Jewish idea of Son of God. Maybe we have the Roman idea of Son of God. What did Mark mean by Son of God? Certainly something important, because he said it right out front. Right up front. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What does it mean according to us? What do we mean by the Son of God? Well, that's important. That's important. And I think that means above all. My point would be above all and all of the above, okay? The Jewish Son of God, the Roman Son of God, Mark's Son of God, my Son of God, that's all of them. Now let's move to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew, the first chapter, first verse, he says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Now I've got dot, dot, dot after mine here. Dot, dot, dot. That means going a little bit farther. Now down to verse 23, it says, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Matthew says. In the very beginning of his gospel, he calls Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And then we read that last, very last word of Matthew, were the words of Jesus when he was going up to heaven, when he was going away after having been raised from the dead. He'd been through life. He'd been through death. And he'd come back to life. And then he walked around and was seen by hundreds of people after he'd come back to life. And then he took his friends out and he said this to them, and then he went away. And what he said is, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What does it mean, God with us? What did Jesus mean, I am with you? Is that the I am of reality? All we have to do is live within reality. Of course, reality is with us, whether we like it or not. That's the I am of reality. Maybe it's the suffering servant Savior. Is the suffering servant Savior with me? The one who said, not my will but thine be done. When things happen to me and I feel like saying something nasty to the person that made them happen to me. Does that ever happen to you? You feel like really saying, God bless you. Well, it comes out like that because the suffering Savior is that way. And what about if someone wants to kill me because of Jesus? Did you know the most persecuted religion in the world? Do you know what the most persecuted religion in the world is? Of course you do. It's us who believe in Jesus Christ. Hundreds of people in the world today will die because they're Christians, just because they're Christians. It doesn't make the news. Is the suffering servant Savior with us? He is with us. He is with those who die, and He is with those who live in the name of Jesus. What about God with us in the Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit? Okay, good. How about God with us in the community of the saints? The apostolic church, the early church, the Roman church with the Pope, and then sola scriptura, our Bible. Oh, there's where Jesus is with us. Not a bad idea. How about the restored apostolica, the restored church after the Pope? Well, aren't we part of that? And then I say, how about that still small voice? And again, all of the above. All of the above. God is with us. All of the above. Now I'm going to do Luke and John together. Luke, the second chapter, says, "This will be a sign for you." That's the story of Jesus' birth. "And this will be a sign for you." That's what the angel said to the shepherds who were out in their fields. And when it came time for them to go and see the newborn baby that had come into the world on that day, the angel said, "This will be a sign for you." That's in Luke 2:12. And then in Luke 24:48, Luke says, "You are witnesses of these things." He's writing to you, O lover of God, O Theophilus. That's what he says. He starts writing to, "O Theophilus, these things I record for you that I've carefully investigated. I've been the historian here. I've checked with those who saw these things happen, who said they were there when they happened. And I'm only recording the stuff that I've been very careful to document that this is the truth." And then he says, at the end of his writings, he says, "You are witnesses of these things." Like you're going to give testimony in court. And that's what I was doing when I drove around with In Love with Jesus on the back of my car. I was giving testimony to whoever was looking at me. And you know what? I just live down the street here. And that's what I do every day. I give testimony by the way that I live, by the things that I say. My father gave me a testimony by the way that he lived. Because where did I learn to say, "God bless you"? My father did it. When he was younger, he didn't used to use "bless." I never did use the other one. Because my father showed me that you can just say, "God bless you." Do you have prayers? Do you have a prayer time, a quiet time that you pray? Do you ever stop when you're in bed or kneeling at your bed or in your quiet moments? I do this. Close my eyes, and I name a leader in the world, or I name a senator, or a leader in our country, and I pray that God bless them, that God be near them, that God put His hand upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you do that? And who do you pray for? Do you pray for the ones you like, the ones you'd vote for? Or do you pray for the ones that you feel are your enemies, the ones that you hope don't get elected the next time? Well, folks, I pray for both of them. I do. I pray for the ones that I like and the ones that I think hate me. I have to do that because Jesus said, didn't he say, pray for your enemies? I do. That's kind of a testimony. That's the way I want to live. Well, how about John? The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 7 says, he came as a witness to testify. He was talking about John the Baptist. But then at the very end of the Gospel of John, again, he's writing this down and he says, this is the guy that's writing to you. I'm the guy that's writing to you, only he doesn't say I. He says, this is the disciple who is testifying. Testifying. That's what John said of himself at the end of his gospel. And so this testifying, being a witness, very important. Is my testimony true? Is the testimony that I give to my Lord Jesus Christ, is the testimony that I give of my Lord Jesus Christ to my neighbors, is it true? Well, my answer is yes, sort of. But unfortunately, no, I missed the mark. Little bit of yes, little bit of no. Isn't that the way my life is? Isn't that the way our lives are? Little bit of yes, little bit of no. See, when I sit up here and talk to you, I tell you the things that I can say yes to. I'm not going to get up here and tell you the things I missed the mark on. No. But I have to do that in my quiet prayer time too. I have to say, Lord, forgive me. Little bit of yes, little bit of no. Hey, are you saved? We've been saved. How are we saved? We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ because we have said yes to Jesus Christ. We've accepted that we are under the blood. We've gone under the water as a symbol of that salvation. We've come back to above the water as a symbol. Isn't that all true? We teach that. We talk about that. We're saved. Isn't that enough? No, I don't think that's enough. Becoming, that is required of me. Not just that I say yes to Jesus, go under the water, come up. Now I can do anything I want. Now I can cuss any way I want to. Now I can say all those things No, that's not a good witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness to the people around of Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to do that, more is required than just being saved. Just getting to heaven's not the whole story. The whole story requires that I become something that I wasn't, that I become something that I'm not yet. I is not enough. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. I is not enough. We are required. I'm required to be part of a we. And if I'm we, and part of the we is Jesus, then I have to change the way that I live. I have to change the way that I behave. Is that okay with you? I hope so. Because that's what I wanted us to say today. That's what I wanted to say. You know what? I didn't really want to say it. It's an interesting thing. I thought, okay, I'm gonna preach at the Baptist Church on the 20th. And I was going away on vacation. And so I got my text and my to the office 2 weeks ago. I think when I came into the office, when I rang the doorbell and somebody came and one of you ladies was here, I gave it to you and said, you're awfully early. And I said, I'm going away. Well, we came back yesterday afternoon. But when I said yes to preach here, I thought, well, I'll just go back into my notes and I'll get one of my old sermons. And I'll just, you know, review it. And that's okay. Would have worked, wouldn't it? And the Lord said, no, that's not what you're going to do. And so I kind of had to listen to the Lord. Kind of had to say, well, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, well, this is your text. You're going to give them Matthew, and you're going to tell them these things that I'm teaching you right now about the Gospels. You're going to tell them those things. And so for 2 weeks, I've been thinking about that, but I was also playing with my grandkids. And any of you that are grandparents, you probably know this, but it's a whole lot of fun to play with your grandkids. But it wears you out. Oh, my. 2 weeks of playing, or almost 2 weeks of playing with my grandkids, man, I came home tired yesterday afternoon. I was worn out. And boy, sleeping in my own bed was a real good thing. Real good. And I slept real good last night. Now, I do have OBS. And those of you men with no hair or white hair, you know what I mean by OBS. You know, you don't sleep all night. You sleep and then you wake up. And after a little pause, you lay there and you say, am I going to be able to go back to sleep? And I went back to sleep. And then I woke up again. And I had another one of those little pauses. And I laid back down and I said, oh, I sure won't go back to sleep this time. I was tired. Playing with those grandkids. Wear me out. So I slept real good last night. And then this morning I got up and I looked at my notes and I said, that's pretty thin. What am I going to say? And I printed it all off. And I sat down, and the Lord gave me what I was going to say to you. Well, I've said it. We need to do more than just get saved. And I believe that our witness to the world around us needs to be more than just, Jesus loves you, you need to get saved. Of course, that's true. That is true. Jesus loves you. And he loves the senator that is your enemy. And he loves the neighbor that's your enemy. But he wants me to love the senator that's my enemy. And me to love the neighbor that's my enemy. And he wants you to love the senator that's your enemy. And you to love the neighbor that's your enemy. And being saved isn't enough. It's not. If I'm going to be a good witness, if you're going to be a good witness, we have to know what we're saying. More about Jesus would I know. More of his love to others show. More of his kingdom's sure increase. More of the coming Prince of Peace. We sang it. We are witnesses. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have sent Jesus Christ to save us, but not just us, the whole world. That's bigger than we can understand. But Lord, each one of us needs to know more of you. Each of us needs to get into the Bible. Each of us needs to listen honestly and quietly to your small voice. And then your witness to our world will be better. We pray that your grace would work upon us this week, and furthermore, that your grace would work through us this week. In Jesus' name.